Love and Justice, the Two Greatest Commandments. Commentary for the March 22, 2025 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry. If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Isaiah 58:9b through 11. I look at the events unfolding here in the United States and around the world, and it seemed like looking at a vast ocean of humanity in turmoil, like a raging sea during a tempest. The waves, stories high, crash into one another, and many are carried to and fro like rudderless ships, unable to follow the course they were meant to. Fearing the storm, they cling to any other vessel that offers stability, even if doing so should mean their own destruction if that vessel should fail to remain afloat in the storm. Our experience today reminds me of the fate of Pompeii when Vesuvius blew in 79 CE. Few questioned the decision to build a city at the foot of that volcano. They only knew that living was good, and they could make a future and a fortune living in the shadow of that Damoclean sword. When the rich built their estates there, all those who saw an opportunity to make money supplying the wealthy with their needs followed. That thriving community went about their daily affairs, unaware of how short time was, and how all the things they acquired and considered important would soon be nothing but ash. Hundreds of the citizens remain today as macabre stone statues, formed from that ash as it fell, suffocating man and beast alike, to one day be unearthed by archaeologists and gazed upon by thousands of curious tourists. Just as then we live our lives chasing the golden ring while our carousel goes round and round, not realizing that the ride will end, or even if we do, using that shortness of time to justify grasping all we can before the day arrives when there are no golden rings and we can no longer ride the carousel, when the gay music of the circus becomes a dirge that heralds the end of all things. We ignore the plight of others who cannot afford to ride the carousel, or who are too physically or mentally disabled to do so. More golden rings for us, who can afford the price of the ride. After all, it's just a Darwinian weeding out of those who are not fit for survival in this competitive world. And if in desperation they should resort to the crime of stealing what they cannot afford, well, there are the prisons for that. And if they become pimps or drug dealers to obtain the money to ride the carousel, it is only because they have learned the careless regard for human life from the wealthy. Although criminalized, it is a parallel form of oppressing others to obtain greater wealth at their expense. If it requires less work to prey upon others in this way, it also means greater danger from those who would either take advantage of the pimps and pushers to steal what they have gained, or from the enforcers called for by the carousel riders to make sure that they are the only ones extorting others so they can keep riding. The entire system has bought into this warped version of life. Politics, business, religion, all ride the carousel, grasping for the golden rings. They do not realize that the one at the top, the maker of those rings, is evil personified. They only recognize all the things those gold rings can buy: houses, cars, boats, vacations, and most of all, power. If they have enough, they can live in exclusive neighborhoods in walled compounds where they never need see another poor, disabled, or minority person for the rest of their lives. Compounds where lesser riders of the carousel can be co-opted to serve them simply by promising them more gold, even if it is never actually provided. Foolishly, people insist they are not like this, even while reaching out for the ring, denying they are doing the very thing they would be ashamed to acknowledge they were doing. All the way back to Cain, who slew his brother Abel, we have been living like this. One would think that religion somehow would be above such material concerns. But the indictment of religion is written all over the denominations as they compete for lay members and the money they bring in to build expensive houses of worship and provide extravagant salaries and benefit packages for those standing in the pulpits. While that is more than obvious for those prosperity preachers with their mansions and private jets, they are only the heaviest fruit on the same tree as their less affluent brethren in the local parish. Recently, I discovered that the benefits package for an associate pastor in my own Seventh-day Adventist denomination is $107,000 per year. Yet, in the same conference where this is the case, they cannot afford to pay the pastors, and so are laying personnel off. Years ago, I spoke with a conference ministerial secretary and asked him why they did not use lay pastors to fill the gap. He replied that if they did not pay the person, they could not control them. This was a tacit admission that even within the church, money is all about power and control. It explains why the church seeks so much of it. They ride the same carousel as everyone else. To be fair, there are those who are faithful to Christ, but they are not typically found in the halls of power within any denomination. They are ostracized because their lives are an ever-present rebuke to those who have sold themselves for 30 pieces of silver to serve those who control the purse. It was the religious leaders who enticed Judas away from Christ for silver. Pilate did not do it. Herod did not do it. It was the priesthood who arrested Jesus and demanded his death because they could not control him. The same spirit exists in our modern religious leaders. We have the tendency to think that those of whatever denomination we belong to are not part of the problem. It is like those who say politicians are corrupt, but believe that only applies to every other politician except the one they voted for. Jesus said of such religious leaders, "Leave them, they are blind guides. If the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit," in Matthew 15:14. Jesus modeled an entirely different life that God intended we should live, a life of freedom from such control, according to John 8:36. We are like the Israelites in bondage in Egypt, but unlike them, we are unaware of our enslavement. Our shackles are shackles of debt and financial obligations that keep us from feeling free while driving us on to never give up on the hope that pursuing that golden ring will someday free us. In the end, the only freedom found is that of death. But Jesus offers that freedom now if we are willing to get off the carousel and come to him. What divides Christians from the world is love. Love even for their enemies. It is only in such love that justice is found. Those who are always grasping for more are in danger of compromise in meting out justice for those who have little. Their constant hunger for more opens the door of temptation to pervert justice, to obtain what they desire despite the shortness of time they can enjoy it in this life. The young with the road of life stretched out before them cannot appreciate the shortness of that road or the foolishness of trying to carry everything with them on that journey. Life tells them that only the things that can be seen, touched, tasted, heard, or smelled are the things that matter. Things of the spirit are considered myth and should be abandoned for the things that really matter. But Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5-7, taught exactly the opposite, that the kingdom of God is what should be sought most of all, and God will care for those who choose to do so. God does not use his power to coerce us, for God is love, according to 1 John 4:8. Coercion derives from fear of the consequences of disobedience. It is how fallen humanity often portrays God. But love drives out fear, for the two cannot coexist, according to 1 John 4:18. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them, according to 1 John 4, verse 16b. Love does not oppress the poor, the disabled, the foreigner. Love does not drive people in fear, but draws them through love and sacrifice given on their behalf, according to John 12, verse 32. Only with love can freedom and justice abound. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord, according to Romans 8, verses 38 and 39. Thank you for listening to this commentary podcast. You can find the written version of this commentary, along with hundreds more commentaries and podcasts, at our website, www.visitstillwaters.com. You can also find links to articles and books written by the author. Once again, that's www.visitstillwaters.com. May God richly bless you and your family.